Funding for this edition of Think Tank with Steve Adubato has been provided by the New Jersey Education Association, Atlantic Health, Rowan University, the fastest growing public research institution in the Northeast, PSEG Foundation, Valley Bank, the Burke Foundation, the Terrell Fund, a foundation serving children, the Fund for New Jersey, and by NJ Transit, your ride to the world's game. Promotional support provided by Meadowlands Media, a print and digital business news network. And by bestofnj.com, all New Jersey in one place.
Hey everyone, Steve Adubato. There she is, Jackie Chikarka, our senior correspondent. Jackie, we had a whole week where we celebrated teachers, our Teacher Appreciation Week. In this segment that you're about to conduct some interviews with two teachers, are they County Teachers of the Year?
Yeah, they're New Jersey County Teachers of the Year. They were named back in August when they went through all 21 counties, naming teachers from each county as the Teacher of the Year for that particular county. And I get the chance to speak with two of them, Pamela Eng and Dr. Thurback, about why teaching is so important to them, their passion to keep teaching 10 plus years into their careers, and the ups and downs of educators. We know it's often talked about teacher burnout and the struggles teachers are facing today. So we go through all of those topics, talk about that and so much more with these two fantastic educators here in New Jersey.
Listen, it doesn't have to be Teacher Appreciation Week to appreciate our teachers. And Jackie does just that with these two terrific teachers who we recognize. Jackie and two great educators. Check it out.
Hi, I'm Jackie Chikarka, senior correspondent for Think Tank. And I'm so pleased to be joined now by two New Jersey County Teachers of the Year, Pamela Eng, who's a third grade teacher at Lincoln Elementary School in Edison, and Dr. Tiffany Thurback, who's a resource and inclusion ELA teacher at Williamstown Middle School in Monroe Township. It's so great to have both of you with us.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you for having me.
First of all, congratulations. What a true honor to be named New Jersey County Teachers of the Year. I want to talk about that day, finding out that you were named New Jersey County Teacher of the Year. Pamela, first with you, what was that day like for you?
I got an email about an assembly that we all had to go to, and it's a little confusing, but my class kind of, we pulled it together. We went down. The superintendent was reading a story to us, which was also a little odd. And mid-story, all of the administrators walked in. My principal was there. There was somebody there with balloons. And then it kind of dawned on me that it was around that time of the year and that this was going to be the moment.
That's amazing. And then you find out your name, New Jersey County Teacher of the Year. What were your initial emotional reaction to that?
Complete shock. when I did the application, I did it trying my best, but I really in my wildest dreams didn't even think that I would win. New Jersey is full of amazing educators, and to be the one selected for my county was just unbelievably amazing.
Dr. Thurback, we know, yeah, that a lot of the times it's a big surprise and they love to surprise the teachers with this recognition. What was it like for you to find out?
Very similar. The county superintendent, my superintendent, my principal, the deputy county superintendent. I was teaching. I was really into a lesson. The kids were engaged. And all of a sudden, they came in with these flowers and balloons. And I guess my kids knew because they started, you know, kind of clapping and yelling And it was just the picture that is captured in one of the local newspapers that has me going like this, you know. And so that captures the moment. You know, it was just an amazing feeling. Like Pam said, there are so many. It's like I think there was 1,600 of us, you know, just that feeling to be recognized, to be acknowledged for the work that you do in your small little classroom. is just a great feeling. And I share this with, you know, with the rest of Cumberland County.
Yeah, well, well deserved for both of you. I know you're doing incredible things, not just in the classroom, but in your community. So let's talk a little bit about that. Pamela, I want to start with you because I know your background. Actually, when you first got started in your career, you were actually working in television with a little TV show, and we all know very well here at PBS, Sesame Street, which obviously its roots are really built on education. So tell us about why you transitioned and when you knew that teaching was going to be your passion and what you wanted to pursue.
The role of becoming a teacher is really a seed planted by a teacher. So one night I was grocery shopping and I ran into my second grade teacher, and I was working in New York as a production assistant, and she asked me how work was going. And I told her I liked it. It was fun, but I didn't love it. And she said to me, "You really need a job that you love. This is going to be a career for the rest of your life. You need something you love." And I said, "I just don't know what that's going to be." And she looked at me and said, "When I met you at 7 years old, I always thought you would be an amazing teacher." And that idea kind of just sat with me. And I thought, I do like teaching. I like working with kids. Maybe I should be a teacher. And so that's where my educational journey began, with the seed of a teacher planted.
That's incredible. Things had to align so specifically to run into that one teacher to help you figure out that next phase of your career and your life. Dr. Thurbeck, I want to talk about your background too, because I know you're a certified school social counselor as well. Talk about how you bring that knowledge into the classroom and with your students. Students that you call your students with exceptionalities. Describe that.
Yes. So I started out as a paraprofessional. So, and then I went in to become a homeless student coordinator, and then to teaching, and then to become a school social worker. So then back into the classroom for a variety of reasons. But one of my quotes that I hold tight to is by Frederick Douglass: "It's easier to build strong children than it is to repair broken men." So that really helps me to understand where I'm coming from when I'm relating to students, whether it be in school social work, because I became a certified school social worker. I was counseling students with behavioral and academic challenges. That just allowed me to be a better teacher. I was a teacher, then I went into social work, and then back into the classroom. It just helped me to be a better teacher. I call them students with exceptionalities because a lot of people like to say, "Oh, they're special ed." And sometimes that can have a negative connotation. And so regardless of their abilities, their race, their exceptionality, whether it be mental, emotional, or physical, they are exceptional. And that's why I say I'm a teacher of students with exceptionalities.
I love that. Pamela, talk about a little bit about your students, right? Because teaching, I think both of you have been teaching for over 10 years now. And, you know, getting back into the classroom after that summer break every year, I've heard from teachers that I know, you know, sometimes can be tough. And teaching is an amazing profession that does not get enough credit, but also there's a lot of ups and downs with it as well. Pamela, talk about your students and what keeps you motivated coming back into the classroom year after year.
My students keep me motivated to come back to the classroom. At the beginning of the year is a great, fresh new start. The students are always so excited. They're so happy to see their friends. But the beginning of the year is a great opportunity to really build those relationships with your students and really set the pace of what the school year is going to be about. So just having that energy and keeping it up throughout the school year.
Something that you both also have in common is making sure you're prioritizing giving back and helping your community outside of the classroom. Dr. Thurbeck, talk about the term you coined, students. I love how you have a lot of these great terms. They're really impactful. Talk about students in transition and what you've been doing in your community.
So one of the things that I've been doing in my community is just making sure that my students feel connected to the world. I advocate for them inside and outside the classroom. So while I'm integrating real world applications of cultural awareness into my lessons, I'm also addressing the whole child academically, socially, emotionally, culturally, and you know, my, I just make sure my classroom is a place where they can be seen, heard, and respected. And then they know that outside the classroom, I'm creating experiences that empower them to take pride in who they are. Dr. Yasso has a community cultural wealth, and it's important. That's her theory, and it's important to make sure that that child is seen from a wealth position rather than a deficit lens. And so what I've done was organize events surrounding Native American heritage, Hispanic heritage, Black history, and those powerful immersive experiences that I make sure my students take part in. I bring in judges, prosecutors, entrepreneurs, community leaders, hairdressers, plumbers, martial artists, nutritionists, all of that to allow them to know that they can be anything that they want to be, regardless of their identity, regardless of injustices that are out there, and they can lead. And this is the next generation, and we're trying to inspire that next generation to become and be, you know, all that they can be, to be productive members of society.
What are their reactions when you're bringing in all these types of people to talk to them in the classroom?
Oh, they are, and it's in our school community through assemblies and different things like that. And then after school at night, bringing in the board members and all of them, they are amazed. They want to talk to them because I try to keep it young as well, you know, the seasoned and the young, but they are amazed. They want to talk to them after. They run the panels, the young people, so they get to question and ask questions, and they are inspired. They are amazed. And every one of them, you know, leaves with a smile on their face. And the mayor recently gave a card to one of the kids, and they thought, we just got our cards. And they were just, I got a card. And they know that they can also be a part of that when they give back.
That exposure is just so important at such a young age. Pamela, for you, I know you're the co-chair of the Community Service Committee at your school. Talk about that and the ways that you're getting your kids involved in some of those community efforts.
It's very important for me that the school kind of feels like a sanctuary place for the students. So first and foremost for me, I want to make sure that the students here at my school are taken care of, whether it's through clothing, whether it's through food. So as the community service chair, we help to make sure that all of the students here have whatever they need, whether it's a winter coat, whether we're gathering the uneaten breakfast and giving home goodie bags for the students to bring home for those who need it. But it's also important for me for the students to realize that they are also change makers. And while you are young elementary students, there's nothing that you can't do to help have an impact on your community. So whether we are having food drives where they're collecting things, whether it's a book drive or our free little library out front where they can donate some of the books that they've read and collect new books, I want them to understand that no matter how old you are always able to help others, and anything that you can do to help support your community, that's our role as humans, as people, is to give back and support one another in any way that we can.
Definitely. That's incredible. And talking about reading, I wanted to get into a little bit about AI and technology and how it's impacting teachers today and how they're teaching and still getting their kids and the students just really excited about reading, excited about writing. Dr. Thurbach, how are you making sure that your students are also really engaged with the classroom material outside of using technology and AI right now?
Well, one of the ways, when I speak to parents, I am encouraging to read to their kids. I don't care what it is. If it's a magazine or if it's an article, they need to read to their kids and read in their language and read, you know, any and everything. And it must be a balance. We have to maintain this balance, you know, of having technology and having hands-on things to do in the classroom. When that's blended, when we use that blended approach, it maximizes the engagement and the efficiency while avoiding that screen fatigue. And it helps to maintain interpersonal skills. That is really needed because kids are like this, you know, and, you know, they're like this and they don't know how to relate to one another. And that is an important skill. So it can't just be technology, social media. it has to have a balance. So we need to definitely blend the two together and do different activities that'll encourage them. Sometimes I just say, we're going to take out a piece of paper, make whatever you want. We're going to take out a color where you'd like to be, and then share it and talk about it to your peer colleague is what I try to make sure they get, exposure to that word colleague, their peer colleague, and just talk. And you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed.
Yeah, it's important. Pamela, how are you? Give us a concrete example of how you are doing that balancing between the technology and what you're teaching and hands-on learning.
The technology is great in terms of, it helps me allow to pull materials that are at students' levels. It helps students to have access to books that they can listen to if that's what they need. But I also, like Dr. Thurbach said, there's something in the touch of holding a book. There's something in the touch of getting together to talk about a story that we read, that shared conversations that we can have over a shared reading. So we have times where, yes, the technology is a helpful tool, but at the end of the day, we best learn through our hands, through touching, through doing. And that's really something that technology, I don't think, can ever really replace.
And through conversation, for sure, too. And final thoughts, I just wanted to ask both of you, what type of advice you would give a young person thinking to pursue a career in education? We hear so much about teacher burnout, but the importance of building that teacher pipeline. So Dr. Thurbach, what about you? What advice would you give a young person thinking about going into the teaching profession?
I would tell a young person to heavily consider it and not just think about it, but do it. Like Nike says, just do it, right? Just do it. Because there's more than just an inner reward to it, but being able to pass on your knowledge, your kindness, your empathy, teaching students is, it can't be summed up, I don't think, in one word. And we need to have it glamorized a little bit more at the state. In local levels, because it's worth it. We need to make sure our students are productive members of society. And so for all of those who don't want to go into medicine and don't want to be an influencer, come and influence our babies, influence your community, because that's what it's all about.
I totally agree. Pamela, for you.
Teaching is without a doubt a hard job, but it is also the most rewarding job that you will ever have. It's building those relationships and really knowing that you've made a positive impact in someone's life. And it can be the smallest thing that you've done, but for a child, it means the entire world. And I can't think of any other career where something so simple to you can change an entire person's life. And, I'm an example of that. My second grade teacher, who I saw years later down the road, just an idea that she had, it changed my entire career.
And you both are changing lives every single day in the classroom. And I know that's why you were selected as New Jersey County Teachers of the Year. Thank you so much for the work you're doing and for joining us today so we could hear more about the incredible work you're doing every day. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. For Steve Adubato and myself, we'll be right back.
To watch more Think Tank with Steve Adubato, find us online and follow us on social media.
A dream is just a dream until your ambition ignites it. Pursuing your legacy takes drive, resilience, and a financial partner who not only sees your vision for your future, but who will go all in with you and focus your ambitions for what you hunger to achieve next.
New Jersey is home to the best public schools in the nation. And that didn't happen by accident. It's the result of parents, educators, and communities working together year after year to give our students a world-class education, no matter the challenge. Because parents and educators know that with a shared commitment to our public schools, our children can learn, grow, and thrive. And together, we can keep New Jersey's public schools the best in the nation.
We are honored to be joined by our longtime friend, Evan Weiss, who is the CEO of the New Jersey Economic Development Authority and a new dad. Good to see you, Evan.
Good to see you, Steve.
You have a, as we speak at the end of April, you have a 4-month-old son, right?
That's true. Four and a half month old.
Mm-hmm. How awesome.
It is awesome. It's intense, but it's awesome.
By the way, we've done several segments on childcare, which I know is particularly near and dear to Evan's heart right now. Also with some of his colleagues at the EDA. Tell everyone what the Economic Development Authority is.
The Economic Development Authority is like it sounds. It's an entity that's every tool that we have at our disposal to try to help big businesses, small businesses, research, energy. We are really uniquely positioned nationally to kind of do it all. We really take an expansive view of what economic development means, from residential development to the innovation economy to things like childcare and food security.
Let me also disclose the EDA is a longtime underwriter of our programming. So let's try this. We're taping, as I said, at the end of April. The FIFA World Cup extravaganza, it's huge. The EDA's specific involvement in FIFA, talk about it and its significance, Evan.
Sure. So the EDA received from the budget $5 million.
From the state budget.
From the state budget, I'm sorry, yep. To program towards basically making the event feel real to New Jersey in two ways. Memorable, something that they can experience whether or not they have a ticket to go see a game at MetLife, and also something that impacts small businesses primarily positively. So what we're doing, along with our partners at the host committee and Choose New Jersey, is providing opportunities for big events around the state and small community events to have a piece of that money to do what I just said, to kind of put on little events, big events all around New Jersey to connect people to the World Cup, drive economic activity to small businesses, and again, hopefully put some great memories, especially for kids, you know, about the World Cup happening.
Film in New Jersey. Put us in, help us understand the Film Ready New Jersey program. What exactly is it and how significant is film in New Jersey and the future of film from an economic perspective, Evan?
It's a key part of our economic development strategy. It's a strategy that Governor Murphy really kicked off and I think had some vision around seeing, you know, the potential that film had, reclaiming that industry that was born here. I'm in Newark right now and was born in West Orange, you know, right down the way. Celluloid film was born in Newark. So Governor Sherrill has really seized on this opportunity and is exploiting it. I think a lot of people read the story that we, New Jersey, are the one exception nationally in terms of where film activity is increasing. That's in large part about three things. The first is the talent that we have in the New Jersey, New York area that is second to none anywhere, including California. It's about the infrastructure that we're building here in New Jersey and Newark at Lionsgate and Bayonne with 1888, and then of course with Netflix at Fort Monmouth. And it's a very smart sense of tax incentives. Helps us compete.
You know, this is another economic issue that is often not discussed as an economic issue. A graphic will come up promoting our initiative called, well, it's an initiative called Start Strong NJ that we are affiliated with. It's creating greater public awareness around the need for affordable, accessible, quality childcare. Graphics up, check out the website. Here's the question to Evan. Why is childcare, and again, with a 4.5-year-old son as we're doing this program, you can appreciate this more than most. Why is childcare such a significant economic issue, Evan?
I'd challenge you to find any family that can make an economic decision that's not about their kids first. If they don't know where their kid is going to be during the workday, or what if they have a job that's at night? Everything is downstream of kids. So not incorporating that into planning doesn't make sense. Because talent is the number one thing that any employer in any sector is looking for. And so childcare, again, is just fundamental to that.
Along those lines, to what degree do you believe that the businesses that you interact with in your previous roles and also in this role as the CEO of the EDA in the state, to what degree do you believe most businesses understand that it's not charity, it's not just something nice to do, it is necessary to strengthen the bottom line of your company? It's smart business.
We're getting there. I think there's a lot of progress, especially since COVID and people recognizing how important that is. But I think they're delayed in terms of understanding just that underscores everything. So I think a big part of what we're doing is in some ways trying to show, like we do with anything else, we talk about incentives. We're trying to incentivize businesses in the same way we are to center things like childcare in terms of their economic thinking, frankly, to be competitive. We need to be good at that compared to New York, New York City, et cetera. It's a key part of our talent strategy.
Evan, what message do you have for businesses who talk about the affordability or the lack thereof? New Jersey's not a great state to do business in. It's the expenses, it's not affordable.
New Jersey is a state that is great to do business in. I think the businesses prove that. It's a state that we need to be better at and get better at doing business here. The message right now is just how seriously we're taking that. And that the message I give to businesses, big and small, pharmaceutical, film, you name it, is tell us in detail what you mean. We don't just want kind of general complaints, it's slow, it's hard, it's too expensive. Tell us exactly how, and we will work on that. And I think it's really great to have that spirit of partnership. You're willing to work. Us, the legislature, especially Governor Sherrill, this is the main thing she wakes up thinking about in an economic sphere. And I really have had good interactions so far with businesses because we're taking each other seriously.
As the website is up for the New Jersey Economic Development Authority right now, we've done many programs talking about grants and loans that the EDA is involved in providing to folks in the business community. Give some folks advice right now. They go on the website. What should they be looking for?
They should be looking for kind of where we can fit into their story. Do they want to stay a small business that's there for the family, there for the kids, or do they want to grow? Having some idea of what their business plan is really helps. I'd really recommend looking at our loan products because we can be very competitive with other lenders. But we can also, if you don't want one of our products, you're very good at dealing with banks and CDFIs, other places for you to find capital. And we're also very good at dealing with other governments. So if you have a small business, medium business is having trouble with your city or having trouble with another part of the state, that's also a great way for EDA to help break through some of those barriers and also pitch the Business Action Center, like Lieutenant Governor Caldwell is leading. That's another great place to stop in addition to the EDA and finding some help how to navigate the state.
Evan Weiss is the CEO of the New Jersey Economic Development Authority. Evan, cannot thank you enough for joining us. I wish you and your team all the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Always a pleasure.
I'm Steve Adubato. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next time.
Think Tank with Steve Adubato is a production of the Caucus Educational Corporation. Funding has been provided by the New Jersey Education Association, Atlantic Health, Rowan University, PSEG Foundation, Valley Bank, the Burke Foundation, the Terrell Fund, a foundation serving children, the Fund for New Jersey, and by NJ Transit. Promotional support provided by Meadowlands Media and by bestofnj.com. To watch more Think Tank with Steve Adubato, find us online and follow us on social media.
A dream is just a dream until your ambition ignites it. Pursuing your legacy takes drive, resilience, and a financial partner who not only sees your vision for your future, but who will go all in with you and focus your ambitions for what you hunger to achieve next.
New Jersey is home to the best public schools in the nation, and that didn't happen by accident. It's the result of parents, educators, and communities working together year after year to give our students a world-class education, no matter the challenge. Because parents and educators know that with a shared commitment to our public schools, our children can learn, grow, and thrive. And together, we can keep New Jersey's public schools the best in the nation.
I've got a large veggie lovers here for Vanessa.
Hang on just a sec.
Vanessa has Insuranoia. She's gone to great lengths to protect her home so she never has to deal with her insurance company.
What do you got? Alligators in here? Oh, you do?
She should have NJM. They go to great lengths to do what's best for their policyholders.
Did you bring my vegan wings?
Yep.
What about your tip? They don't bite, usually.
No jingles or mascots, just great insurance. NJM.